talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
We could go walking through Windy Park, take a drive along the beach, or stay at home and watch TV. You see, it really doesn't matter much to me. I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life. But there's a warm wind blowing, the stars around, and I'd really love to see you tonight.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song, we continue the yacht rock theme with I'd Really Like to See You Tonight by England Dan and John Ford Coley, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with general contractor Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. Landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. And finally, Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions. But I did want to mention that first interview you're about to listen to with Kalman Construction. He's going to be talking about helping some of the homeowners at dockside condominiums move out items. And if, I don't know if you're familiar with dockside condominiums, but it just was condemned recently, and all of the property owners had to move out with like 48 hours notice. And he just recently finished a job at Dockside, like brand new cabinets in the kitchen, thermidor, appliances. And the owner of that unit asked him to remove everything because, and I guess they're going to try to resell it. But it's a very interesting interview. And, you know, my 21-year-old daughter just pointed out to me that there you can buy a condo inside dockside condominiums for about $145,000, which is a huge discount, but you'd have to pay cash, and because no one is going to give you a loan, because it's still up in the air what the outcome of whether they're going to be able to repair. It's going to cost like $1.6 million per unit, per homeowner at dockside to make those repairs. Amounts to about $180 million. So a lot of the owners just can't afford that. It's a very, very sad situation, and you'll be hearing about it shortly. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with builder Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. How are you doing, Kevin?
Great, Tim. Good to hear you again.
You too. Kevin, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Kalman Construction.
We are a small family-owned construction company. We have, eight to 10 employees on staff, and we are a little different than other companies that we are licensed master plumbers, master electricians, HVAC techs, and gas. We do our own gas work also. So we do all those subcontracted mechanicals in-house instead of trying to chase guys all over God's creation.
What's the big advantage of doing that?
Well, when you're doing a new house and nobody shows up, it's not that big a deal. But when you got Mrs. Wilson's kitchen apart, mm-hmm. and your plumber is, deer hunting for a month, it's a big problem.
Right.
So it's really about schedule more than anything else. We incur costs because we have guys on staff as opposed, having somebody who's a subcontractor is probably a smaller drain on our company. But when you don't control the schedule, that's where it really gets sticky. Mm. And, you know, it's all about, you know, being there when you say you're going to be there and getting stuff done when you say you're going to get it done.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Sounds like you went in that direction of keeping all your subcontractors in-house through experience then.
When we moved here in 95, 96 from Nantucket Island, you know, everybody's a small contractor in Nantucket. And so, you know, you know everybody and, you know, everybody that works with everybody. And you know, you form these friendships and these bonds. And it's not so much about, you know, what's the cheapest plumber I can get. It's about who's the best guy I can get that's going to show up on time. And when we moved here, it wasn't that way. And we struggled for a couple of years trying to figure out how to make it happen. And then finally just said, that's it. We're going to go back to this. So off to school I went, and you know, just it opened up a whole new series of clients for us.
Right, right. Well, we're going to talk today about dockside condominiums, and Kalman Construction has you just mentioned to me off the air has done a number of jobs for residents at dockside condominiums. And you probably know a little bit better than I do. I've just been reading in the newspaper what's been going on with dockside condominiums. Can you tell our listeners, bring our listeners up to date on what's been happening with the residents at dockside condominiums and it's located on the harbor on the peninsula downtown, right?
Yeah, it's right next to the aquarium, between the aquarium and the African American Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible piece of property, 17, 18 stories, and you know, the views are hard to be beat anywhere. The building, gosh, had to have been built in the 60s or 70s, I guess.
Mid-70s, I think, yeah.
Yeah, probably one of the worst design buildings we ever worked in, just because all of the elevators... all the elevators empty into the lobby. So every bit of construction debris and material has to go in through the lobby and up and then back down through the lobby to get everything out. It's just, anyway, I don't know what they were thinking, but we've done a ton of jobs in there for, I don't know, probably a dozen clients. Mm-hmm. Over the last 5 years. Some pretty big jobs, some really pretty amazing jobs with some real quality clients and architects. We just finished a job, you know, about 30, 45 days before the edict came down that they had to evacuate the building. And it's unbelievable what has happened. They started to squeeze the construction down and wanted to know how much weight we were adding, or how much, you know, what we were doing and so forth. And the building is a concrete, like piers with slabs poured in between. So all of the interior walls are supposed to be non-weight bearing. And they discovered at one point that they had some trouble with a slab. And so they got engineers to come in and look at it. And they had a couple of different engineers, I believe, over the course of a few years. They just completed a big renovation of the garage area and the deck area because that was one of the problems that was identified in the beginning. And so now they were moving on to the main structure, the tower. And, you know, everybody's a little freaky about these buildings that are, you know, 40, 50 years old now that have been built on harbors and oceanfront, you know, from Myrtle Beach to Florida after the Florida collapse of that building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody's got it on their radar now. Nobody even worried about any of this stuff before. And eventually what this turned out to be is that the engineers decided that even after they came through with all of the, they've been testing testing the, you know, asbestos abatement, and then doing testing on columns and floors and things like that, then apparently they've decided that the building is unsafe. And they gave these guys, you know, the phone
residents.
Call came, and they, yeah, the residents had like 4 hours to clear out. You know, some people, some of my clients, this is their second or third house. Some of my other clients, this is their only house. And they're not tremendously wealthy. They live in a great spot. They got in, you know, before everything went crazy. And this is the only house that they have. And, you know, they're struggling just to make ends meet at this point in time, trying, you know, when they call you up and tell you that you need to get out, you know, you take your pictures and your, you know, and your pets and off you go. And, you know, now they let them back in again. They're only letting two units at a time for 2 days. You have 1 day to pack up and then the movers come and then you have 1 day to get everything out of your unit that you're going to take. So for the last month, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to kind of, you know, bring our listeners up to speed. So I believe this was in February or March that this edict came down from the city of Charleston that all the residents had to evacuate dockside condominiums until further notice. And as you mentioned, they were given about 4 hours to just grab their personal belongings and vacate the building. And they have been out of dockside condominiums. The entire structure has been empty for months now. And from what I've read in the paper, the residents have gotten very little information from the city about what the status is and what's going to happen. And as you mentioned, they were recently allowed two units per day, or for a couple of days, were able to move their furniture and washer dryers, all of those items they could move out. And it's still up in the air. And yeah, you're right. I know someone who used to live there, and you know she sold airtime for Channel 4 and was just an average person, making an average living in Charleston. And you're right, was able to buy a condo before the prices in Charleston went crazy, and it was probably on the high end of what she could afford. But now all of the residents, including this friend that I know, have basically been paying for two residences. They're renting probably, or maybe living with family if that's available, but they're still having to pay their mortgage. And I imagine that a lot of them have stopped doing that and probably will, you know, go into foreclosure because they don't know what the status of the building is going to be going forward. Right.
Yeah. Not only that, they're also having to pay their HOA fees every month.
Oh, brother.
It's just like a, you know, like a slap in the face to these guys. As one of the clients told me, he just said, you know, I just can't believe that we're still paying that. And it's a really complicated situation as to, you know, do they renovate the existing building, you know, and the amount of assessment that each unit's going to get assessed is going to be more than anybody would ever be able to get back, probably. You know, do they sell the building? And then what happens to that? Because everybody has to agree, or 80% of the owners have to agree. You know, you can't get 80% of the people to agree what time it is.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, do they tear it down and rebuild it? Same problem with the assessment stuff. It's just, it's like a no win. And, you know, I'm watching some of my clients, you know, their whole retirement and their nest eggs just got wiped out. And they don't know what to do. They're already at retirement age. You know, they've just lost, you know, the biggest asset they had is gone. Not only gone, but it could cost them still.
Yeah, I think I read in the paper they gave a really high figure in the hundreds of millions of dollars of what it would cost to fix the dockside condominiums. And I did like a quick calculation based on the number of units, and I think it came to about 1.6 or 1.8 million for each unit that each owner of that unit would have to pony up when you live in a condo. My father lived in a condo in Florida, and when they do an assessment, as you mentioned, it's a mandatory thing. You can't choose not to pay into. If they say they need, well, we need all the windows to be impact rated now, and it's going to cost this amount per unit, you don't really have a choice. It's mandatory,
nope.
Right?
Yeah, if you don't do it, then they'll just lien your unit. So,
and then then when you can't sell it until you pay off that lien.
Right.
So you're stuck.
Yeah.
So Kalman Construction has done a lot of work for residents at dockside condominiums, and you had mentioned to me I think last week that that your guys were going to be working down there. What kind of work did they do?
We were there, and we've done a few of these units now. Our clients call and say, you know, on Wednesday, we're allowed to go in and pack up our unit. We'd like to take everything that we can. And so, you know, light fixtures, ceiling fans, doorknobs, toilets if they're new. I mean, anything that can be unbolted and taken out, these guys want. I have one client's got, $30,000 worth of Thermador appliances that were only in the unit for 30 days.
Oh.
And, you know, they're not going to leave them. And so, you know, all of those got packed up and shipped out. And, you know, some of the clients are asking me, well, what about my cabinets? And, you know, what can I do with this and that? And it's like, well, you got to pay to store the stuff. And, you know, if you've got some place for them to go, then yeah, it makes sense. If not, probably not. And, you know, some of these units down there are pretty high end. So, you know, you're talking about $75,000 worth of $100,000 worth of cabinets that are just sitting in this unit is probably going to end up getting crushed. The waste is just unbelievable. What's going to happen there? It's just unbelievable.
And so, what usually happens is whoever built that, the dockside condominiums, the developer, and this happens with newer neighborhoods. Oftentimes the developer will, at some point, once it's built out, will basically turn over everything to the HOA, and the developer has washed their hands of the project. They're no longer involved. You can't come back to them later and make them pay for what's going on right now at Dockside Condominiums, because it was 50-60 years ago.
And there's no insurance for these guys. That's the other part of it, because it's been, it's not condemned yet, but you know, it's been, nobody can live in it. It's not an insurance loss. If it caught fire, the insurance company would pay for it. If a hurricane damaged it, the insurance company would pay for it. If it collapses, the insurance company will pay for it. But if it stands up like it is now, and it's like in this limbo, no insurance will pay for any of these guys. Yeah, it's, you know, one of the clients said, you know, we have to continue to make our insurance payments because we have a mortgage. If they're making, you know, they're making their mortgage payments, they're still making insurance payments. The whole, it is just such a tangled web of just craziness that, you know, sometimes I get done, talking to a couple of these clients on the phone, and I just hang my head in my hands, you know, afterwards, and just, you know, I don't know what I can do to help. We're just trying to do anything and everything we can to help these people. It's just crazy.
Mm.
So nothing I've ever been involved in, nothing like this ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a terrible economic loss for all of those residents of dockside condominiums. But on the other hand, I guess you have to, you know, when I remember hearing about, I believe they were called the Champlain Towers in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, I think, that had collapsed. And there were several people, many people that died that were in the condos at the time of the partial collapse. And so, you know, that's I'm sure that's why the city is taking no chances. They don't want anyone to be killed, you know, just because their money is tied up in where they're living.
I mean, I don't think anybody argues with that. I think it's the uncertainty that is just like, it just keeps going on and on, that there's no, it's like there's no end in sight for these guys. That's, I think that's really the issue more than anything. Everybody agrees that, you know, safety first.
Right.
Nobody, it's not worth anybody dying here. That's for sure.
Right. So you you had a customer of Kalman Construction that even asked if you if you could remove the sliding patio doors that you had installed.
Yeah, we just put them in this unit. You know, $40,000 worth of impact sliding doors. And they have storm shutters on this building, you know, that closes it all in at the balcony level. And so he's like, can we take the sliders? And I was like, I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess we can, because interestingly enough, on that building, the original sliders on the building were owned by the condo association. But if you replaced your sliders, which almost everybody does because the other ones are 50 years old junk aluminum at this point, once you replace them, you now have the burden of ownership, and it takes it off of the HOA, so they don't have to maintain them.
Mm.
So his attitude was, I own them, we can take them. And I was like, yeah, but where are we going to store these things?
Yeah.
Where are we, you know, and, you know, that's what it comes down to sometimes. It's like, if you have a place for these things to go, we can take them, put them in the truck and take them there. If you don't, I don't know what you're ever going to do with these things. You know, you're going to store them for 10 years or 5 years until you find a place for them. I mean, how much are they worth on Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hold on to these things forever. So,
not to mention that every unit is custom. All of those cabinets, those appliances,
yeah,
they were ordered and installed based on the custom dimensions of each one of those units. And so, yeah, you can take the cabinets and the off the wall and the appliances. But you know, it's sort of like, you know, and I appreciate everything that Habitat for Humanities, the retail stores, and maybe you need a ceiling fan or something, but you stop by Habitat and pick up a piece of used material. But in this case, you know, what are the chances that you'll ever be able to make those cabinets fit in a new space with different dimensions, and or the appliances fit in that new space? It's almost like, you hate to see them just being destroyed or left behind, but then again, what are the chances that they're going to be able to be reused?
Yeah, it's just crazy. The whole thing is just, it gets crazier every day, you know. So
well, it's a terrible story, and as you mentioned, you know, this is not, you know, the people that are impacted by this, the residents, have been forced to move out. Perhaps a few of them are of the super rich, but many of them are just average Charleston people that have lived there for many, many years and were able to buy at a price when it was more reasonable to live there. And so it's don't turn your nose up at this, because you can say, oh, these people can afford it. A lot of people, as you said, they're nest egg, they're at retirement age, and they've been wiped out. So it's a terrible thing.
It's a rough one.
Right.
Really rough.
Well, I'm sure you're giving these the residents of Dockside condominiums some bit of peace with the fact that they, you know, are at least trying to move out some of their items, and hopefully they'll be able to do something with those items down the road. But you're just doing what they're asking you to do, basically, and hopefully that'll mount to something.
We're kind of like spectators who are, you know, are really invested in it because of our relationship with the clients.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really what it comes down to.
That's
just
true.
Let them know that, you know, we're here. I don't know if there's anything we can really do to help, but whatever we can do, we'll do.
Yeah. So. Well, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Kalman Construction.
They can call us at 843-856-0515. We're on the internet at www.kalmanconstruction.com. So it's Kalman with a K. And they can reach us either way. So.
And you can always find Kalman Construction within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
On charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, that's quite fine. That's all right. Well, we've been talking with builder Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction, talking about the dockside condominiums and the terrible impact that those residents are experiencing now. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
And now we're talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. How are you doing, J.R.?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And thanks so much for coming to the Charleston Home and Design Magazine office to record your interview in person. This is a treat for me because I've been doing mostly phone interviews with people since COVID. So thanks so much for coming in.
This is great. It's my old stomping ground since our office was right across the street.
That's true. You don't get to Lewis Barbecue as much as you used to.
No, not as much as I used to.
Well, JR, you are a landscape architect. You and your wife are the principals of Remark Landscape Architecture. Take a moment and tell our listeners about Remark Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're going on our 18th year in business. Started in 2007. Started out of the spare bedroom of our house, and today we have a team of 8 designers and landscape architects working for us, and we focus on commercial work and high-end residential throughout the region from Savannah into North Carolina, and then we have a small studio in Memphis, Tennessee right now.
Oh, wow. That's great. And it all started here in Charleston, right?
Yeah, in Charleston, the spare bedroom of my house in Park Circle.
And you've obviously grown with all of the people moving to the Charleston area and the Southeast in general, and just the boom in building that's taken place in the Southeast as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people moving here. I was just talking with someone yesterday from Connecticut building a house in Bluffton, so I'll be in Bluffton tomorrow visiting her property. But yeah, just people keep on moving here. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And how long have you been in the Lowcountry?
So we've been married over 25 years now, and then plus I did my 4-year stint in the Air Force. So
at Charleston,
I was stationed here in Charleston.
So you were smart. You saw the potential that Charleston had, and been here a long time.
Yeah.
Me too. I moved in here in right after Hugo in 1990, and thank goodness I did, because I talked to my 21-year-old daughter, and she'll say, how much did you pay for this your first house, Dad? And I'll say $96,000, and she just is godsmacked, because you know, that same property is worth $1.5 million, and so makes me a little sad about what our next generation what they're looking at, because you know, who can afford $1 million first time house? You know,
I guess just buy some Bitcoin now. We'll see. I'm just joking.
right. So you are an Air Force veteran. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
And then you went to, if I recall, University of Georgia to get your landscape architecture degree.
That's correct, and that's where I met my wife and said we have to come back to the Lowcountry.
Very good, yeah. Very good. And I think it would be worthwhile to take a moment and have you tell our listeners, what's the difference between a landscape architect and a landscape designer?
Yeah, one thing is, you know, we have a degree in landscape architecture and licensed by the state. So we have to train under a landscape architect for 2 years. We take when I took it was a 5-part test, now it's a 4-part test. So that way you can at least have minimum competency as landscape architects. But really, the big difference is we're not just focusing on plants. Other designers aren't, but I guess with us as landscape architects, we're really thinking holistically. We're thinking about the architecture. We're thinking about drainage. We're thinking about the interiors, how the interiors flow out to the outside. Thinking about sustainability, how we're keeping sense of place. with native plantings and wildlife. There's a term that we've coined, aesthetic ecology, where we're thinking about the aesthetics of a homeowner along with the wildlife and ecology of the place. So it's just, I feel like I've known some landscape designers. Just, we think a little bit differently on everything.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And if you are building a custom home or you have built a custom home, many neighborhoods require you to hire a landscape architect. And I guess that originated from, you know, they want to keep up the values of the neighborhood, and they don't want someone who says, I'm going to do the landscaping myself, and I've budgeted $5,000 for the front and back, and that's not going to get you very far. And so ultimately you end up with, there might be a situation where there's the house looks incomplete because the landscape hasn't been installed or anything like that. And so some neighborhoods are like, sorry, but you need to show us a plan. What is your yard going to look like? And you must have a landscape architect that draws those plans, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Because, you know, there's a lot of neighborhoods that you are required to have a landscape architect, just like you are to have a licensed architect in the mm-hmm. state of South Carolina. And so, you know, we have meetings on site. We always do inventory and analysis. We're looking at grading and drainage, which is really important here in the Low Country. And we understand the process that you have to go through, especially in Kiowa, Seabrook, Daniel Island, mm-hmm. Palmetto Bluff. We're doing a lot of work there. It's a pretty strict process. And
right.
We understand that.
And Charleston Home and Design Magazine, where we're having this interview today, we're located on the Upper Peninsula, right next door to Lewis Barbecue. And Remark Landscape Architecture, you folks have done quite a bit of work around this neighborhood, right?
We have. You know, it's funny, as I bought my building right when they were doing the Upper Peninsula rezoning, the overlay district, which is the same time we started working on all these projects in the Upper Peninsula. And it's funny how we've seen things transform over the years. And we've done, you know, Pacific Box and Crate, everything on Half Mile North, Lewis Barbecue, the apartments over the Charleston Steel site, the new Morrison Yard, not Morrison Yard, but the Morris on Morrison Drive.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So we've done all that. And then we just, I'm not going to say where exactly, but we just got a go-ahead on a project near this area that's, you know, a 20-year project. So we got a piece of that project, so
nice.
We're excited about that. So hopefully another new frontier.
Oh, good for you. And I'm interested in learning more about that when you do make that public.
Yeah.
From a homeowner's point of view, a lot of folks could drive around this neighborhood and look at some of the landscape architecture and even you know, steal some ideas for their own backyard, because, you know, it's what might be in a commercial setting can also be in a residential setting as well, right?
No, that's very true, because when we even were looking at residential projects, we're thinking about the sense of place. We're thinking about plants work together, thinking about wildlife, how people are interacting with the spaces. And so that definitely does translate to residential design.
Mm-hmm. But it's, for a landscape architect, it's more than just the plants. You're talking about hardscapes.
Yes.
Fences or...
Yeah, we're designing, I mean, honestly, we're designing little... we've designed sheds, small pool houses, screen porches. I mean, and then sometimes we do have to bring an architect in, but we will design those things and work with a structural engineer. And then, again, you mentioned we're doing a lot of drainage. We do planting design, hardscape design, low wall design. I mean, we really think about how can we bring architecture out in the landscape and merge everything together, because just... it makes it more meaningful and impact and intentional.
Right. And if it's outside the home, that's where Remark Landscape Architecture can help you.
It is, yes.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, tell us about your when you visit Remark Landscape Architecture, your website. Talk about the design fees that you have listed, and because it's very transparent, right?
It is. That's something that I think that's unique in us. You know, we are the expert guides, and we want to lead our clients through the process. You know, it's our clients are our heroes. You know, and so what we've done is we've created these tiered design packages, and so what we have on our website is where these packages start at. You know, it's all based on the size of the project, the complexity of the project, and location. But we have what's called Design, Design Plus, Design Premium, and then Design Build, where we'll team up with contractors to design the project. And but yeah, so then we can do 3D renderings, we bid projects out, and we can do a la carte on services and mix and match, but we try to be very transparent on our fees, and we have our hourly rate on. Our hourly rate's $225 an hour, and that's we have one rate for the entire office.
Gotcha. And speaking from a homeowner's point of view, anyone who works with an architect or a landscape architect in this case, you might be, wondering about the fees, and that's so great that that Remark Landscape Architecture, you folks have got those fees right there in your website. And while you're writing the checks to the architect or landscape architect, it might feel a little painful, and I remember going through that myself. But my wife and I have a friend who is remodeling her house in Mount Pleasant, and she just made a comment about writing a check for $12,000 to the architect, and I reassured her that you know it will come back to you in terms of the. If you go to sell your property, the fact that you've got a superior landscape plan, you'll get paid back for those fees that you invest. So it might be nobody wants to spend a lot of money these days, but it's well worth it. And The other part of that is the landscape architect will come up with a plan that you would have never thought of on your own. I still experience this today, 16 years after we built our house. Like, I'll say, wow, I'm really glad our architect did that. I would have never thought of that on my own, right?
And that's correct. You know, we really bring a value. It's an investment, not just an expense. And, you know, there's been a study done by the American Society of Landscape Architects that hiring a landscape architect for your home can add anywhere between 10 and 20% value to your home. And I've seen that with houses that I've sold where we had really nice spaces that we've created. And on two occasions, we were at the very top of the market in Park Circle and set kind of records. And it's based on, I think, what was designed and...
Yeah. That's fantastic. It really does make a lot of sense. There is a difference between a property that has been designed by a landscape architect and one that hasn't. So I just want to reinforce that to our listeners.
And also there's different, you have a minimum competency for a landscape architect, but we don't always think the same. We're not here just to see how many projects we can do in a month. We really want to work with our ideal clients to create very special places where they can create memories for their with their families. And you can see the projects on Daniel Island, especially Captain's Island and now the retreat, where you can drive through and you can see landscapes that are unique and much different than the rest. And typically, those will be our projects.
There are. Do you mind mentioning a few of the custom builders that Remark Landscape Architect has worked with?
Oh yeah, we work with Bird. We work with Shelter, Allaire now Structures. Those are some great builders that we've worked with. Tommy Priester is a great architect, as a great builder.
Yeah, and so these high end. I mentioned that just because if you're building a high end custom home, You'll be in good company if you work with Remark Landscape Architecture, because a lot of these custom builders are seeking the services, and they end up telling their clients, listen, you got to hire the Remark.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, there's even like Axon Homes is another great builder on Daniel Island that we've worked a lot with, and in Palmetto Bluff. But it says our core values are innovation, collaboration, and stewardship. So, you know, innovation on the design side, collaborations with the builder, the interior designer, the homeowner, the architect. We work together. And the stewardship is we're looking at the property, the site, but also the client's dollars. Because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very mindful of that.
That's interesting that you mentioned the interior designer, because it's almost that term interior designer has sort of morphed these days. They still call themselves interior designers, but they're being asked to do a lot of work outside of the home. And so I can understand why the interior designer, who is part of how the outdoor living spaces are going to work, that they would be working collaboratively with Remark Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, we want to see how the spaces are going to be used. You know, there's a lot of times they're selecting furniture. We can also select furniture, but a lot of times the interior designer is selecting the furniture because they're also working with the interior furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that we're speccing materials and the hardscape, that everything's going to jive and work together.
Mm-hmm. Have you at Remark Landscape Architecture ever come into a project that was previously the homeowners hired a landscape designer, and maybe that designer wasn't aware of some of the drainage problems on the property, and Remark Landscape Architecture has had to kind of rescue the situation?
Yeah, numerous times over the years that's happened. You know, it's just, again, we think differently about how the drainage and the design works, and just, we really, again, just then listening to the client, but then we have to listen to the site too.
Uh-huh.
That's very important.
Right, right. Yeah, water always flows downhill.
Yes,
so.
It does.
And if you don't have a plan for that, it's just going to sit there.
Yeah.
And there's, I've talked to so many people in the landscape business that drainage is like one of the top things on their minds.
No, it is, and we've got a lot of projects specifically for drainage, because I feel like that we are the premier landscape architecture firm that is implementing these unique drainage solutions. And we have, you know, commercial and residential, we're really trying to push the idea of rain gardens, bioswales. There's some unique details that we use around homes that we just really think it's the drainage is key and can drive a design.
Mm-hmm. I know certain municipalities have for a long time required you're gonna know this better than I do, but there's if you look at the square footage of your property, there's a certain amount that can go toward the house and maybe even a swimming pool, and then depending on the size of your property, they might say, well, you know, you can't put a swimming pool in because we need to allow enough square footage on the property for drainage, right?
Yeah, yeah. Lot coverage is a really big issue right now, and so you have to really understand the different municipalities, different communities, what they're looking for with lot coverage and permeable coverage. You know, you're starting to see a lot of permeable driveways, especially on the islands, Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island. Yeah, that lot coverage is key.
And Sullivan's and Isle of Palms have, in my experience, they've been way ahead of those requiring the homeowners. And I guess maybe because they're barrier islands, they want to make sure that the water is not running off the property, but is able to filter through the soil on their property themselves. And has the city of Charleston caught up with what?
There's a lot of things happening in the city right now with stormwater requirements, and it's just in cities, you know, is a large player because they have so much of the land here in the Lowcountry. They, you know, West Ashley, James Island, Daniel Island.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just some, and then the peninsula, and it's just with more people moving here, more houses being built, that's just becoming more of an issue. And so they are looking at all that.
Do you think that more houses being built, it has contributed to the flooding that we experienced?
I'm sure it has at some extent, because you're taking property that's never had a house on it, putting a house on it. It's changing the infrastructure of the soil, you know, and it's just... But we could think about it smartly, and that's where I think, you know, thinking about each individual home, how it's built, how it's landscaped, how they're handling stormwater in each individual lot can make a great contribution to the overall system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about our own situation. Like our neighborhood, there's a slight dip where you kind of drive downhill into our neighborhood, and some of those houses that are near the top of that hill, they've put in concrete tabby driveways, for example, where they had gravel driveways before. And all of a sudden, our neighborhood is experiencing all this flooding right at the entrance, where that water has nowhere to go to except down the road, because all of those gravel driveways, the water was sinking through there, and now it has nowhere to go but down into our neighborhood. So that's why I was asking about the city, if they take a look at that kind of a situation before they say, okay, you can put in a concrete tabby driveway.
They typically are, because when we're doing drainage plans, we always have to try to treat and control the water on the specific property, so we're not having water running off. That's
important for sure. Yeah. And then on your property yourself, that may have changed over the years too, right? Where all of a sudden you're experiencing drainage problems where you may not have had that before.
That's totally true. Like, I mean, we're working in areas where they have low elevations, where it used to be okay to put a house at 6.5, elevation 6.5 or 7, but now it's like we really need to be at 8.
Mm.
If we're starting to see the king tides and stuff, so
right.
that makes a big difference.
Right, that makes sense. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about Remark Landscape Architecture?
No, just, you know, please visit us on our website, or go to Instagram or Facebook and like us. And you can go to our website, it's remarkstudiollc.com.
Well, that's great. Well, we have been talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. Thanks so much, J.R.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions. How are you doing, Cameron?
Doing great. How are you, Tim?
Good. Cameron, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Advanced Window Fashions.
Well, we've been local in the Lowcountry for over 20 years as a Hunter Douglas Gallery, and we're a full-service window treatment specialist. We do install, service, and design.
All right, great. So if anybody's interested in getting some new window treatments, what types of window treatments does Advanced Window Fashions offer homeowners?
Yeah, we do custom treatments, and so there's a broad spectrum, anything from blinds to shutters, but also soft treatments like Roman shades, drapery. We also do outdoor patio shades.
What do those outdoor patio shades look like? Are they just to block the sun?
Yeah, block the sun, give you some privacy, give you some insulation. They can also block out bugs, helps with the weather elements. Also convenience, being able to make your outdoor space more livable. And they look like a roller shade, just a larger, more robust exterior version.
How do they hold up when some wind comes up?
Well, they go up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. They're not a hurricane shade per se, but they certainly help, again, with sun, privacy, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Making your life, yeah, more convenient outside, but it's not a full-rated hurricane shutter.
Oh, yeah. Se. Yeah. What would you say, what is the most popular, the top-selling window treatment at Advanced Window Fashions?
Right now, we've had a lot of woven wood shades, which is essentially a Roman shade made with woven wood materials, usually with bamboo, jute, sticks, stuff like that.
Okay. Why do you think it's so popular these days?
Well, we're in the coastal Carolinas, and a lot of people are going for more of that homey and earthy feel. Neutral colors are trending right now, and people want that more connection to nature in their home. So bringing in the woven woods is a perfect way of doing that. It also complements hardwood flooring very well. So,
are they easy to operate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have all the, you know, standard lift systems like a cord loop. You also have cordless and then, of course, motorized, which is the best because you can schedule it on your app. You don't need to think about it, and it'll operate exactly how you want.
Talk about the automated shades that you just mentioned.
Yeah, automation is a great feature because, you know, like I said, you don't have to think about it. If you want something on a schedule, for example, like you're going to drink your morning coffee, but you know that sun comes in and blinds you, you can just have the shade automatically set to that position when you're making your coffee. Or same thing for dinner. It'll just automatically move where you want. And now they have internal batteries, which you can use with a solar charger. So you actually never need to charge the battery. Or if you're still building your home, you can hardwire it so there's no batteries involved at all.
Mm. Yeah, that's always a thing because you homeowners don't want to be climbing on ladders to access where the batteries are to change them out, right?
Yep, there's been a lot of improvements there. So.
And they don't want their walls torn up to be able to install automated blinds and shades.
Yeah, that's where the internal battery comes into play because there's nothing sticking out of the headrail. It's all internal to the shade. And a battery usually lasts a year to a year and a half on average. Mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with any double A's. You just simply snap into a charger, swap the battery.
Gotcha. I know Advanced Window Fashions specializes in helping homeowners, but does Advanced Window Fashions do anything with commercial?
Absolutely. Actually, this morning I was at a measure in downtown doing a hair salon, and they're in, you know, a commercial building with metal framing. It's, you know, a higher rise building, and we're doing some commercial screen shades for them so to give their stylists some more privacy. And sun control while they're in there, you know, with their clients. We've also done lots of other jobs, you know, MUSC, City of North Charleston, just to name a few.
And it sounds pretty simple when you say I was out on a measurement, but talk about measuring the windows because that's a pretty important part. And Advanced Window Fashions doesn't just measure one window or take one measurement on one window. You're taking multiple measurements, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we take at least 7 measurements per window. On shutters, it's even more. We get very specific, you know, because as a custom window treatment goes in, nothing's a perfect square or perfect rectangle. So we'd like to, you know, take lots of notes, lots of pictures. If there's anything, you know, that our installers need to know, that's why I'm there, is to make sure our installers know exactly what they're going into. And we're actually bringing our installers out on the measure as well. So the same person installing is the person who measured it.
Gotcha. And when it comes to the person who's choosing the window treatments, every situation is different, right? Depending on where the house is located, where how much sun the house gets, or the need. Everything is custom to whatever that homeowner needs, right?
Absolutely, and you know every situation is a little different because I deal with homeowners, contractors, designers, etc. Mm-hmm. So everyone has different needs, different wants, and of course, like you said, the sun will hit different faces of the home or of the building you're in. People have different cost perspectives, different aesthetic wants or needs, so it does vary greatly, but that's our expertise, is being able to consult and give you professional recommendations based on you and your situation.
Gotcha. Are plantation shutters still popular at Advanced Window Fashions?
You know, they still are popular, yeah. I would say, you know, shades are trending right now. So, shutters are still there. I would say they're not as popular as maybe they were like 5 to 10 years ago. But certainly that classic plantation shutter look, you can't go wrong there. And some folks are doing actually a mixture of shutters and shades throughout their home. Generally that, you know, structured, secure shutter look on the front of the home, but then in the bedrooms or the back of the home, more formal or relaxing soft treatments.
And I can see that happening because people love the look of plantation shutters, both from the inside of the house and when, you know, the exterior when you're looking at a house. But it's not going to block out all the light in a room. And is there any options of like room darkening if you have plantation shutters?
Yeah, so plantation shutters do a decent job at room darkening. The only downside is light bleed is through the louvers. Mm-hmm. However, if you choose like an elliptical style louver, you'll get tighter closure. That can depend on the shutter manufacturer. And also you can do like no tilt bar and one big panel. Those are a few ways you can maximize your light control with a shutter. But if you want full light control, it would be advisable to go with a room darkening shade because it's one entire opaque piece of fabric. There's no light bleed there. And you can also put tracks on the side and the bottom. So you get like 99.9% coverage.
Nice. And that's great for those people who work night shifts and
need the
sleep during the daylight hours.
Well, absolutely.
Well, we're almost wrapped up, but I wanted to ask, is there anything new going on at Advanced Window Fashions?
Yeah, so recently I've been collaborating with Rebecca Atwood. She has a studio here in Charleston, and we've been using her notched vines fabric on my clients' drapery and Roman shades. And they absolutely love it. It's a stunning treatment. The notched vines is, you know, somewhat neutral, but has a lot of movement in it, which goes great with a lot of my clients' projects. And Rebecca Atwood, they're all about color and movement. And I'm just really excited to work with them. And we have some swatches in our showroom, so feel free to come by and take a look.
And that's if someone wanted draperies or other cloth fabric treatments, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, Rebecca Atwood does fabrics. And we use them for, you know, drapery or Roman shades. We can also do a throw pillow for you. They're also great for upholstery if you're into that. Nice. I can get you in touch as well.
Well, good deal. Well, what's the best way for folks to reach out to Advanced Window Fashions?
Yeah, you can give us a call at 843-881-8858 or visit us online at advancedwindowfashions.com.
All right, great. We've been talking with Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions, and you can always find Advanced Window Fashions within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Cameron.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.